When a relationship breaks down, when a loved one violates your trust, it's not only crushing and painful, it takes months, sometimes years, to restore and heal. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues a sermon introduced yesterday called Resolving Those Parent-Child Conflicts. In order to reach any measure of reconciliation, both parties need to forgive one another. And perhaps there's no harder expression than forgiveness. Maybe you're thinking about a relationship that needs attention. Today's message will guide you, along with the helpful book we'll recommend later in the program. Chuck begins with prayer.
I don't know where you are right now in your life. I do not know who has something against you or what you are holding against another, but I will tell you before we go very far, the key of freedom from the torturers is forgiveness. And so, our Father, we place before you these next few moments. I ask for help in saying the truth and saying it carefully and saying it well. May it land on soft soil. May it take quick root and grow deeply into our lives as we realize just how relevant your word is. In our fast-moving, shallow, superficial world, it is easy to skate, to zip along above the fray and pay little attention to the trouble we are causing or have caused, or to the lingering bitterness that we are nursing because someone else has hurt us. So get our attention, speak deeply and directly and individually to us. May we put out of our mind all thought of someone else being here that needs to hear this. And may we give you thanks that we are here to hear it and to heed this message. Thank you, Father, for the summer months that stretch before us. May we use them to deepen our walk with you. And may our walk be marked by consistency, humility, transparency, and generosity. In the Savior's name, everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Resolving Those Parent-Child Conflicts.
There are two major issues we must address if we're going to deal correctly with the subject of forgiveness. Here's the first. When we have caused feelings of resentment in the life of another, when we are in the wrong, when we have offended them or him or her. The second, when we feel resentment toward another who has hurt us because of some wrongdoing, they've offended us, and we're now left with the consequences. The first is addressed in Matthew 5, the second in Matthew 18. So turn to Matthew 5, 23. And understand a custom of that era. In the first century, when you went to God in prayer, you would often bring an animal, and you would plead your cause before the one you called your God. Now please note what it says. And there, remember that your brother has something against you. See where the blame is? You're at fault. Whatever it was, you did it, you said it. Look at the verbs, verse 24, leave, go, be reconciled, and then come and present your offering. Gerhard Kittel, in a massive set of multiple volumes on the Dictionary of the New Testament Terms, adds this. The word means seeing to it that the angry individual renounces his or her enmity. Seeing to it that the offended one renounces the enmity. How powerful. How significant is that one word? May I track that further? Ideally, you go face to face in the right time, having thought through your words, and without casting any blame on that person or trying to justify your earlier sinful actions or attitude, you begin with, "I am here to tell you I was wrong. Furthermore, I am sorry, genuinely sorry. I deeply regret my inappropriate, sinful words and or actions. Will you please, please forgive me?" The person may or may not, that's another subject. No time to deal with it now. I'm not dealing with their response, I'm dealing with your actions. Now you're going to be tempted to think of, "I'll just make things right with God." You know, God who understands everything and realizes how badly I feel about it. I'll just leave it all with Him. Like that little ditty we used to sing, "If I have wounded any soul today, if I have caused one foot to go astray, if I have walked in my own willful way, dear Lord, forgive." Hogwash. You haven't offended Him. You've offended the person you're not willing to talk to. Let me make it even more practical. Let's say I'm backing out of my parking place with my little Honda, and I back into your bright red, brand new Ferrari. Suddenly there's a back fender that's crunched. Doesn't hurt my car at all. And I look over and I go, "Oh Lord, please forgive my negligent driving. I was so stupid to run into that car," whatever it is. And you're walking toward me, and I'm driving out saying, "Lord bless you. I took it all up to Him. He's taking care of it all." How you doing? How you doing with that? I made things even worse. Why? Because I'm completely at fault in this. It gets even more complicated when I use my actions to get back at someone. This past week, I had a man contact me and ask if he could have some time with me. He said, "I need to mend a fence." The offense was 18 years ago. He said something very vile. And it's been haunting him ever since. And I'd pretty much put it out of my mind and had not really mentioned it to another soul. I'm honest. I'd never even told my wife what he had said to me. But he was plagued by it. And he said to me, tears, "Chuck, I want you to know, first of all, how wrong I was, how inappropriate my words were, how badly I feel about it, and I'm very, very sorry. Please forgive me. Please accept my apology." Of course I did. He seemed relieved, and we talked about a number of other things, but that needed to be handled first. I knew exactly how he felt. I've been there so many times. I've been there with my own dear wife. I've been there with each one of our four children. I've been there with friends I've hurt. I've been there with colleagues, fellow ministers, because I am just as big a rotten sinner as you are, and I know what it feels like. I'm not here to make him feel worse. I'm here to say to him, "Thank you for saying that. Means a lot. I do remember what you said. And I determined then not to harbor it against you. And I want you to know I fully, fully forgive you." Any homework come to mind? I speak today to young and older alike. I speak to you who are single and married. I speak to you who are formerly married, maybe multiple times. I speak to you who have done things that were absolutely immoral. And because of that, you have deeply, deeply hurt the one who trusted you or believed in you or needed you. You may have abandoned your family at one time, or you may have cursed one of your own children or parent. Whatever it may be, the verses speak for themselves. Leave, go, be reconciled. Then come and finish your business. Attending church more often won't take the place of this action. Learning more verses of Scripture will not be a substitute. It doesn't say that. Leave, go, be reconciled. Turn the enmity into amity. Take away the offense. In Matthew 5, we are the offender. In Matthew 18, we are the offended. Let's turn there. And thank you for listening so well. This is a sermon I hope you will never forget, the message of which I hope you will pass on to others who may not be hearing it, but may need to. Now, in context, Peter has a question. It's a burning question because he can't figure out what to do with this individual who has really hurt him. So he comes to the Lord in all sincerity and he says, how often should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? You need to understand that the going rate in that day was 3. The rabbis and the Pharisees taught 3 times. You forgive. Well, Peter's doubled it and added 1 for good measure. How often? 7 times? Maybe it was one of the disciples. They had a number of arguments. Maybe it was his wife or one of his kids. Maybe it was a neighbor. I don't know who it was. But he comes and he says, the question is how often? 7 times? And look at the Lord's words. I do not say to you up to 7 times, but would you believe 490? Obviously, he doesn't mean 490. He means an infinite number of times. 70 times 7. 70 times 700. Peter, every time. Every time. Don't drag that around with you. Don't wait for him to come pleading for mercy or forgiveness. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. That's rare for you to have someone do what my brother in the Lord did with me this past week. That's rare. He's a better man for having done that. But don't wait for that. So 70 times 7, Peter. Now, Jesus probably saw his mouth open and his chin hit his chest as Peter goes. So Jesus said, I'm going to tell you a story. Follow the story. The first part of the story, there is the Lord who is the focus, and that is in place of our God. Notice what he does with those who offend him. Here we go. I do not say to you up to 7 times, but 70 times 7. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king. Here he is. Here's our Lord. A king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Now, how much is that? Well, I figured several million, and then some brain in the first morning service figured it all up for me. $345 million. So if that doesn't square with your wording, don't let his offense hang with you, okay? Forgive him. Let's say more than you and I will ever be able to pay back. $345 million. How about $2 million? Multiple millions he owes this king. Since he didn't have the means, verse 25, to repay that, His Lord commanded that he be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground. Look at this. Just like you did when you were converted. He prostrated himself just like Louis Zamperini at the Graham Crusade in 1949 in L.A. He prostrated himself before him and said, "Have patience with me and I'll repay you everything. I don't have it, but whatever it takes, I've got to have your forgiveness." And the Lord took care of it at the cross, at the cross. In fact, that's what it says in so many words. The Lord of that slave felt compassion. Isn't that wonderful? I see you back there, Louis. I see murder in your heart. My heart goes out to you, Louis. He has compassion for the man. He has compassion for you and for me. This is called grace. And the king of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. How great is that? That's a wonderful picture of our Heavenly Father. We are indebted to him for a lifetime of sinfulness. And he, at the cross, provided his son to pay the penalty for our sins, so that past, present, and future, they would never be held against us. How marvelous is his grace. We are forgiven, 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 forgiven. You don't have to plead forgiveness from God. He is there to forgive us. Grace gives me air in my lungs. It gives me reason to go on. It gives me hope beyond whatever today brought. And as our Lord, he forgave him the debt. But the story doesn't end there. So far, we have vertical forgiveness. Got it? See that cross? Vertical forgiveness. Now we deal with horizontal forgiveness. See that cross? Covers both. God's forgiveness of us is complete, thorough, constant, consistently ours to claim. But our forgiveness of one another is another story. Look, that slave, the one forgiven a $300+ million debt, went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Now, we don't use denarii in our coinage. One denarius is worth about 16 cents. It's what a person earned in one day's wage. Times 100 would be $16. 16 measly dollars. This is the man who has just been forgiven this massive debt that we can't even figure correctly. So huge. And he comes to this fellow slave who owes him 16 bucks, and he seizes him. He sees him and begins to choke him, saying, "You pay back what you owe me." Whoa. You know what's so amazing about it? It's so hypocritical. Our God, who forgives us and has forgiven us and keeps on forgiving us, past, present, and future, our God who keeps us out of debt to him, and we got a $16 bill that a buddy owes us, and we choke him saying, "Give me that money. I'm going to hold your feet to the fire till you come to me on your knees and beg my forgiveness. How dare you do to me what you've done?" Well, watch closely. Sounds familiar. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me and I will repay." But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So, interestingly, as is always true, there was a camera there. No matter what you do, somebody's taking your picture. So when his fellow slaves snapped the pictures, they went to the Lord of the slave. Look, so it happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Now, watch. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave. I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you? So what did he do? And, see the connective? Same sentence. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. Whoa. Torturers. Basanidzo is the Greek verb leading to the word torturer. It means, get this, to subject to severe distress, to torment, to harass. It's the severe pain experienced through being tormented. Sounds like Louis, as a POW, feeling the sting of the belt on his face and neck and body. No. Sounds like you. Yeah. That's why you can't sleep at night. That's why you close your eyes, you see the face in the back of your eyelids. That's why that face is in bullseye of your dartboard. That's why you can't wait when that name is mentioned to say something ugly about him. That's why you lick your wounds and nurse your bitterness. It's called torturing. He handed him over to the torture. How could I say that? Because the story doesn't end with the story. The story ends with verse 35, the application. Look at it. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you. These are the words of Jesus. This is a statement of promise. My heavenly Father will do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Now he says it. My job is to declare it.
Well, there's obviously much more we need to cover in this study from Chuck Swindoll about resolving those parent-child conflicts. Please stay with us to hear an important closing comment. And Chuck will continue this convicting message on the next program as well. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. If you're a longtime listener to Insight for Living, you know Chuck has preached a lot of sermons on the family in years gone by. But this classic series called Biblical Parenting represents 5 decades of accumulated wisdom and insight. Chuck and Cynthia are parents to 4 adult children and now grandparents too. Well, if there were one book from Chuck that belonged in your collection, it would be the one that parallels our current series. It's called Parenting from Surviving to Thriving. To purchase a copy right now, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/offer. With the coronavirus taking center stage these days, we understand your family is highly distracted, and rightfully so. This pandemic has brought all kinds of pressures on our lives, whether financial or physical. And at Insight for Living, we're committed to providing daily doses of hope through Chuck's Bible teaching. Even while many of our public gatherings have been disbanded, such as worship services, this program continues to reach into hearts and homes without interruption. With this in mind, please continue to support Insight for Living with your consistent giving. Chuck?
Our world has never witnessed anything quite like the coronavirus. Invisible to the naked eye, COVID-19 is crossing every barrier we put in its path, and it's leaving devastation behind. During unsettling times like these, all of us must come to terms with this fact. Our safety and our security is found not in our retreat or isolation from danger, but in the safe harbor of God's great protection. That's not hyperbole. You know that I'm not given to platitudes. It's the truth. And I want you to hear the comforting counsel that comes straight from the Bible. But first, let me remind you about our shared commitment to one another. We're walking through this season, this pandemic, together. And just as we continue to deliver daily doses of biblical hope without interruption to millions of listeners who rely on Insight for Living, I'm boldly asking you to reciprocate with your expression of generous support. And so let me assure you, we certainly need your prayers and your donations as you stand by our side these days. These last several weeks, David's 32nd Psalm has brought a lot of comfort to Cynthia and me, especially verses 6 through 8. I want to read them to you. Let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Aren't those great words? May these inspired words from David's Psalm 32 bring you fresh hope, renewed stability, and a calming reassurance during these stretching days. I promise to walk this journey with you. Dave will now give you our contact information. I look forward to hearing from you soon, like today.
Yeah, we've made it very easy to respond to Chuck Swindoll. You can pick up the phone and give us a call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or it may be easiest to go online and give a contribution on our website at insight.org. Hear more from Chuck Swindoll about resolving those parent-child conflicts tomorrow on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Resolving Those Parent-Child Conflicts, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.